Hey, it's Steve Imke. In the fall of 2016, I had an opportunity to spend two nights with a class full of hobbyists that wanted to learn how to take a hobby that they love and turn it into a viable business. During those two nights, I took them on a journey of business entrepreneurship. I'm sorry you didn't make it, and I hope this is the next best thing. Here are excerpts from that live event. Hope you enjoy it. But even more important, I hope it inspires you to get off the couch and do something with it. Thanks for listening. Let's talk about personnel. If you are going to hire somebody and you have employees, this is basically your choices here. You can have employees, which is you and Pound. You do all the withholdings and that kind of stuff and make those deposits on their own. This is what the government wants you to do. It's horribly painful, I will tell you, to have employees. 1099 contractors, though, these are the rules that you have to have. First of all, there's behavior, financial, and the type of relationship that you have. Best way I can say that, from a behavioral standpoint, do you control what it is and how they do it? If you can control that, then they're not a 1099, they're your employee. If financial, expenses, tools, supplies, if you provide the tools to them, they're an employee. And the same thing with the type of relationship. If you provide benefits or key aspects of the business or tell them how to do their job, they're an employee. That's kind of how I look at it. So, of course, we have all this hail damage and we've got all these roofers running around replacing people's roofs. And I think about that. This is a perfect example, right? I don't tell the roofer when he shows up. He gives me the appointment and when he's going to go ahead and replace my roof. He brings the equipment in there, does all that, and I certainly don't know how to put a roof on a house. All right, so I don't tell him how to do that. So I don't control his time, I don't control his tools, I don't control any of those kind of things. He is clearly a 1099 contractor to me. All right. We also have vendors, and we can outsource, and I'll talk a little bit about that. I am a big fan of outsourcing. Right now, I think I may have mentioned this the last time. If I didn't, I'm going to repeat it because it's worth repeating. I'm a flaming dyslexic, so the writing I have is absolutely comical. I know we mentioned this as from a principal's perspective. So the idea is I have an editor who lives in Calgary, Alberta, that does that. Social media gal sitting there responding to posts in the Philippines. IT person sitting out there in India going off and doing some. So, I mean, I got people all over the globe that do this work for me. And basically, I say it's like an order of magnitude less. So if it costs me $60 here, it costs me $6 out there, generally speaking. And I want to explain a little bit about how this kind of works. Because I think this is important for this audience. And that is, you ever bought anything on eBay? Right? So you know how that works, right? So if I want to go ahead and I want to sell this pair of glasses on eBay, I literally go out there and I put the glasses, maybe I take a picture, I have a description, I put it out there. All right? They're a used pair of glasses and they're missing a little part of the nose tab. Okay? So I might have to describe that. I put that in my listing and I put it out there. And then people bid on this particular project. At the end of the auction period, which I define, somebody wins my glasses. At the end of that transaction, the buyer pays me money, and then I ship them the glasses. But the important part of that transaction occurs after the transaction is done, because the seller gets to rate the buyer, and the buyer gets to rate the seller. So at the end of the day, if I keep saying these are brand new glasses, and they're not, they're used glasses, I won't be on eBay very long, because I'm going to have a very bad looking profile. Or I'm going to have nobody in my profile, because I'm going to have to reinvent myself each time, because I'm going to have so many bad reviews. So I know that if I'm going to purchase something, I'm pretty qualified that I'm going to get a good product if the person who I buy this from has sold lots of them and he has a really good score. So what these vendors have done, and I put a couple of them in there. Upwork I use quite a bit. Freelancer.com I've also used. Guru is another very popular one. And this Toptal is another one that we have out there. These take that exact same model of eBay and they make it into services. So when I want to go ahead and have a new website designed, I simply go out there and I put a spec. I say, here I am, I'd like to have a website. It needs to be an e-commerce thing. This is some basic things. And I put it out there and I ask people to bid on that work. And then they come back and the guy says, I'll do it for 200. I'll do it for 3. I'll do it for 150 or whatever. I get all these back. And it's blind that they do. It's not like they can see what they do. And I can do it either fixed price or an hourly rate. Then I can drill down. So one of the first things I do, I'll be honest, the default is like 7 to 10 days, which is a ridiculous amount for an auction. Because I figure if they haven't responded in 3 days, they're not responsive for me anyway. So the longest I ever go is 3 days on any job. So you put a 3-day job out there, you could probably have 50 people that will respond to your ad. The first thing I do is, first of all, there may be people who are, I may be very centric in that I need somebody to be local. So I had a graphic designer once, and I said I wanted them to Colorado Springs, so I limited it to there, and I picked her, and she had never done any other work there before, but that was okay for me because the most important thing was that she was local here and that I could see her and have her, you know, explain what I needed. In fact, I never did see her. We could have done it in India or whatever, okay? So so that's part of it. But so what happens, the first thing I do is I sit down and I say, I don't really want to work with somebody who hasn't done a lot of work before because then I don't have a list. Because it's like Angie's List type of a thing, so I get reviews. So if you have never done any work on it, I say, I put a threshold. I say, if you haven't done like $1,000 worth of work, just get rid of them. And they're gone. So my 50 just turned into like, let's say, 30. All right, so I got 30 names left. Then I go in there and I say, really, I only want somebody who has 4.5 out of 5 stars. Boom. Now that just limited me to probably 15. Out of the 15, now I might actually drill down and I'll say, okay, how many jobs have they done? How big are the jobs? And then specifically, they'll rate them on a variety of different categories on punctuality and, you know, meeting schedules and accuracy and a lot of other kinds of things. Plus, there's generally a narrative that they talk about. I would hire this person again. They were wonderful to work with, blah, 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 blah. And so I'll look at all of those transactions. And from there, I make a decision. So going back to my roofer example that I made before. So you hire this roofer here to go do your roof. You don't even know whether he's a good guy because you don't have any references. And if he does present references, you know he's going to bring every reference that's good and he's going to keep all those bad references away. But in this particular case, you don't have the chance to filter that. So if you get a bad reference, it stays with you. It follows you forever. So the deal is you can review this stuff. So I make much better hiring decisions because I actually see what other people have done and said about these people to go do this thing. And the other advantage of this thing, so we're talking about web design kind of things or things that I need, but I had a website technical problem. So here's what I do. Before I come here to teach this class, I go in there and I give a list of things that I need her to do. Well, guess what? 8 o'clock right now, it's her time to come to work. So it's 8 o'clock in India right now. It's 8 o'clock p.m. here. She's just coming to work. So she's now picking up what I left her before I left, and she's now going to work. Well, I'm going to go home, go to sleep, and do all this other kind of stuff. I'm going to wake up in the morning, and she's going to give me a report and say, Steve, while you were sleeping, these are all the things that I did tonight. Now, when I hire somebody that was local, I would have had to wait, being this being a Wednesday. They would have done all the work on Thursday. I wouldn't have had a new product until Friday. But in this case, Thursday morning, I'll have the new product with the things fixed. And I've even hired people in 3 different time zones. So quite literally, I'll have it passed from one to the other. So literally, I get 16 hours worth of work, you know, that actually follows the sun to go get that done, which I can't do if I hire somebody local. So cheaper, I get to review them. I get to follow the sun if I choose to. I mean, I don't know why anybody wouldn't want to do that. I do it for everything. You can, your job is fungible. I'm talking back office stuff, accounting, bookkeeping. It doesn't matter. You know, my bookkeeper is in Spain. I mean, you can outsource. Go to one of these sites, literally. Just cruise it. You don't have to hire anything. You just go search for freelancers. Put in keywords. Do whatever else you want. You can see. You can research every one of them for what you want. And of course, you can invite them to a project that you have. You can, if you just want to say, I only want to see people in the United States. Boom. That's all you're going to get. I mean, you follow what I'm saying? You say, I don't care where they are. But I want them to be specific in this particular engineering thing. I want them to be a, you know, Six Sigma, you know, specialist or something along that line. I don't know. You know what I mean? That kind of, and that'd be one of the criteria. And only somebody who has Six Sigma in their profile is going to be one of the ones that gets selected in your search. It's very easy to narrow down. So I use, for example, on my website, it's made with WordPress, an e-commerce or a WooCommerce site. Okay, you can talk to me afterwards or contact me through the, you know, subsequent to this class. But I mean, that's a very easy way to do a website. It's off the shelf stuff, so I don't pay anything for either one of those two. So they're free. Yeah, and so what I wanted to find somebody who was very specific to fix a WooCommerce problem. So I put in the description, I need somebody who's got WooCommerce experience. I just don't want any e-commerce person, but I want a WooCommerce guru to go do that. By the way, that person came at the highest price that I ever paid. You want to know what it was? $15 an hour. So when it comes to employees, these are some things. I know most of you are probably going to hire them, but if you do that, you've got 2.9% that you have for Medicare, Social Security, 12.4% that you have to go ahead and impound up to the first $90,000 in wages. Most of this is kind of stuff that you get to take away with you to kind of look at it, but just to kind of give you some pressure. So if you do the math on that, it's 15.3% that you end up paying for what we call FICA. You have unemployment, both state unemployment, also known as SUTA, federal unemployment, FUTA, workman's comp. I told you they do not make it easy for you to be to hire an employee. They have huge amounts of regulations. So again, if you can outsource that, so this kind of slide almost comes on the heel of sitting there saying there's easier ways to do this.
Yeah.
Okay, so I won't spend too much time going into the discussion here.
Thank you for listening to How to Turn My Hobby into a Full-Fledged Business. To learn more about Steve Emke, or to learn more about what it takes to own and operate a small business, please visit stevebizblog.com. That's stevebizblog.com. Or look for Steve's many books on various aspects of small business ownership at amazon.com or at stevebizblog.com.